I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate you having us.
It'd probably work better if I turn on your microphone. There we go. Let's talk a little bit about Midwest Youth Services. I remember it from years past. You're going to do a better job of explaining what Midwest Youth Services does.
Okay, so Midwest Youth Services, we're a non-for-profit agency located here in Jacksonville. We serve five counties, so it's Brown, Scott, Schuyler, Cass, and Morgan. We work with at-risk youth. So any youth that is at risk, we serve. We have mandatory population and discretionary. I think what we are known for is our crisis response services. Anytime there is a youth in crisis or in conflict with their family, whether they're homeless, runaway, or just at risk of being either, law enforcement, schools, hospitals, lots of referring agencies rely on us to respond 24/7. We're open 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Bet you don't have any typical cases, do you?
You know, they're all very, they have their own story and needs, yeah.
Is it challenging to produce a happy ending to some of these situations?
It is. I think we're all very hopeful. You know, I think even it's our job to have hope even when the families that we're serving don't have hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's our job to keep them motivated, to keep them looking at tomorrow, you know, and we really look at what happened yesterday was yesterday. You know, the problem that persists today is today, but tomorrow's a new start. And we really focus on how we are going to work towards their goals and give them the support that they need, you know, in reaching those.
By the time you get a quote-unquote case or a client, it's probably gone through several other avenues?
It has, or is going through the avenues at that given time. Mm. We really rely on collaboration with a lot of resources in the community. We network with all the providers because the chances of us serving a family while they're receiving, you know, different services is rather high. And we're able to meet them and give them what they need when they need it, if we know the whole story, and it cuts time off of figuring that out. You know, we're all networked and united, and everybody brings something different to serving that family.
Do you advocate for the teen, the youth, or do you advocate for the family, or is it kind of the whole ball of wax?
It's the whole ball of wax. I think families, it's not a youth problem. It's not a parent problem. It's a family issue. And I think you have to really dissect it. And sometimes the parents need the support. Sometimes the youth needs the support. Sometimes they just need motivated. But the one thing that we consistently see day in and day out is communication barriers. You know, a lot of times they're working towards the same goals.
Wait a minute. We've got cell phones. We can text each other. We can do all of that.
Right? Now imagine taking that cell phone away as a consequence. That is, I mean, we've dealt with that.
Sure.
You know, it's a lifeline for a lot of youth. And in all seriousness, you know, it seems silly, you know, the cell phone, we got away without it having one. That is kids' security. It's their ability to communicate with both friends and family, you know, their safety net, per se. And sometimes it's just having communication around communication, you know, being able to talk the same language.
That's kind of their peer group. I mean, that's,
it is.
That's the connection in some instances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've all seen it. We've seen it with married couples who are texting and maybe texting each other. I don't know. But they'll sit there, and the verbal communication isn't there, but there's still some level of communication involved.
Absolutely.
So, Beth, what's your role?
My role at MYS is that I'm the Community Youth Services Liaison, and one of the programs I manage is JPRO, or Jacksonville Alternatives for Youth, Promoting Restorative Opportunities.
That's a mouthful. I'm glad you shortened it to JPRO.
So are we. My job with Community Youth Services is to work with all of the organizations in our community and develop collaborative solutions to youth delinquency and violence that we see.
That's a pretty broad area. The specifics, I think, probably that's where the challenges are.
Yes, for sure.
So what? How did JPRO come about?
For about 3 years, Midwest Youth Services has been studying youth violence and delinquency and the drivers that lead to that. We've been collaborating with a number of entities in the community around that. One of the places that we had been collaborating with was municipal court. And they were seeing youth come in who were dealing with any number of ordinance violations. And those youth were being asked to complete community service hours in order to pay their court fines. They had a couple of options for youth to complete community service, but there were some hiccups in the process. Mm-hmm. Sometimes youth didn't have good ways to access the two community service options that existed. And sometimes it wasn't working as well as it could be. And we asked them if they saw that there might be some room for improvement, and they said, yes, please, anything that you can do to help, we would love. Our goal was that we wanted to expand community service options for those kids. We wanted to get at least 8 service sites available for those youth. And
so work within the mm-hmm. system. You use what's yes. already in place. Just make it a little bit broader and bigger.
Yeah, we instead of 8 in the past 9 months, we've increased it to 15 service sites.
Hmm.
So we take youth out with mentors. We have 7 trained mentors who work with these youth. They pick them up if need be, if transportation is a barrier to accessing the community service opportunity. They get transported to service. They receive mentoring and job training and life skills training while they are there. And they do 2 hours of service each day. And they can schedule it around their own schedule. They can schedule it around their personal interests.
Is it a growing problem, violence among youth? I mean, are we seeing more instances of it, or are we seeing more instances that are actually reported?
I mean, we're actually combating it. Data supports that it's lower than it's been in a really long time, and mm-hmm. we attest that to the community. You know, we are working together to identify whether it be barriers, needs, you know, and just instances that are specific to here. You know, every community has their different needs. We work with, you know, our council, you know, consists of a lot of community members that all work with youth, and we identify what they see in working with those kids. We really combat solutions, you know, rather than just talking about what the problem is. How are we going to decrease the numbers? How are we going to pool our resources to make it more impactful? And we're seeing those numbers decline. And mm-hmm. JPRO is... we're further diverting those kids from becoming system involved. So JPRO is almost a preventative measure. You know, they're coming to us with petty or very small violations or ordinance violations. And in completing their community service through JPRO, they're gaining skills, they're gaining support, they're, you know, being mentored and... just having some role models to look forward to their future.
And given that explanation, Beth, I would think that JPRO becomes a process in which you want to be involved early
in any
circumstances that might involve youth in a dispute somewhere.
Yes, absolutely. We've seen that the kids who come to us who have experienced ordinance violations with curfew or with disorderly conduct, if we can get them and they haven't been back in court frequently to begin with, we can often divert them from returning to court again. One of the pieces of data that we look at is recidivism, or do mm-hmm. they keep coming back? And we have pretty good numbers with that. And we have really good numbers with the completion rate. We had 81% of our youth completed the program successfully in the past 9 months. Mm. We're really proud of that. With this mm-hmm. with this group of at-risk youth, we think that those numbers are something to be very proud of.
So that's the completion. Mm-hmm. How much recidivism then is been able to extrapolate those numbers yet?
I think that we only had 2 out of 26 youth mm-hmm. Experience recidivism in the past 9 months.
That's impressive numbers.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're halfway through this morning's program. Ann Hungerford and Beth Sechrist, our guests from Midwest Youth Services, back after this timeout. Back on the air, our guests this morning, Ann Hungerford and Beth Sechrist with Midwest Youth Services. You probably said it already, and I just missed it, but J-PRO has been in place for how long now?
We started it in September of last year.
Okay, so it is just the 1 year
plan. It's just a baby.
Yeah. Do you find the issues that you run across and the situations different, for instance, from Jacksonville to Virginia, Jacksonville to Winchester, Winchester to Virginia? Can you ascertain a trend there?
Amongst youth that need the services?
Yeah.
Jacksonville, Morgan County in general has always been our number one referring party. Mm-hmm. I attest probably that to population size. We 2 years ago, we started outreach efforts pretty drastically, and that has allowed us to get the mission and get the programs out to those that may not know about them, and that would incorporate, our other four counties outside of Morgan that we hope to see increased numbers from. So is the need there? I believe it is. Do people know that this program and many other resources are theirs to utilize? Maybe not, and that's what we're trying to get that word out so that they can then utilize our programming as well.
The source for Midwest Youth Services funding is, where's your basis come from?
So we are 100% state and federal funded. Yeah.
You're talking about expanding it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why?
We're pretty passionate about what J-PRO has offered this past year. The data is, we know we're doing good things. We know we're touching the lives of youth, and that's what we hope to achieve. And we see it because we're the ones working with them. But the data supports not only that kids are enrolling and completing and being successful, but we've also had kids come back to us and say, I really liked this program. I really was connected to mentors. I really gained skills that I needed. Can I keep volunteering? And up until this point, it's, you've completed your service hours. I don't have any ability to keep you on. So our kind of phase two, per se, this year is rolling out, how can we serve Morgan County youth? This is a Jacksonville program right now. And so we can serve all those kids. We are looking into expanding so that they can volunteer outside of required hours. Mm. They then can call us and say, hey, I have an interest in this or this. I'd like to volunteer. We can then set up an individual plan or schedule for them to volunteer, finish hours, get credit for that, and ultimately get awards or things that they can then utilize in their future planning. Whether it's, a job application, how many service hours have you done, college application, just life skills and experience that they can never have taken away from them.
And Beth, the key, as you guys mentioned earlier, we talked about during the commercial break, it's that early involvement, getting in front of it rather than trying to react to it afterwards. Maybe the snowball's too big at that point.
Yes, absolutely. We're looking at offering this new phase two to youth ages 11 through 21. 21 doesn't sound like early intervention, but 11 sure does. So we're looking at helping youth develop those job skills, develop those communication skills that we were talking about earlier in the program. We're looking at helping them get linked with lots of places in the community and people in the community that they might not have otherwise met. We've seen youth develop confidence through community service that has allowed them to apply for jobs and feel like they could apply for a job. And we want that opportunity to be open to all kids.
And as an employer within the community, that's much appreciated, because I think that's one of the gaps we've seen, not only with just the youth and not blaming it all on them, but even folks down the line a little bit further. Maybe this all started because of problems in their youth and they didn't get the people they thought were caring about them early enough. How does this, How does this work with relationship then with the family? I mean, how do you incorporate them? That's got to be a little bit of a challenge, too.
Right.
So when families decide to sign up for the program or are referred to the program, they always come in for an intake appointment. And
the entire family?
The youth and the parent or the caregiver comes in. And one of our caseworkers meets with them, and they, you know, fill out all the usual information that you would fill out for enrolling in any program. And we obtained signed releases for transportation if need be, all of those kind of liability things, just to make sure that everybody's on the same page. We also engage the parent and the youth in talking about what the youth's interests are or what the parent's schedule is or what the youth's schedule is, so that we can make sure that everybody has a say into when the youth is going to be doing service. We do reminder calls just the same way that you get from your dentist. We call every day to say, don't forget, your child has service today. And we always check in to make sure that the parent knows this is how many hours they have left of the ones that they have committed to.
And I would bet the healing process probably starts right there, doesn't it, to some extent, with youth and their families?
It helps. I mean, there's been youth that they want their family involvement, you know, and kids that are referred to our program, they may have other needs. And for those that qualify per our assessments, they would qualify for case management services. That could entail, you know, limited counseling for the youth and or the family. So if it is communication, if it is, you know, school performance or aggression, you know, whatever they're battling at that point, they're meeting their obligation, but they're also working and bettering themselves. And like we said before, you know, it's not a youth or a parent problem. It's a family issue. And they're at that point starting to work on that together.
So easy to say, oh, he or she's just angry. He or she's just angry.
Right.
There's a reason for that, and I think you guys are working through some of those issues now. All right, let's take our final break. Back with Ann Hungerford and Beth Sechrist after this timeout.
Summer's almost over.
See now. And Beth Sechrist, we talked a lot about the program, J-Pro, and now you're wanting to open it up a little bit. So how does somebody who's listening to this now maybe have not needed to go or thought they needed to go through the steps to begin some sort of an intervention or help, how do they then go about in lining up your assistance?
For any of our services, including the J-Pro program, all you have to do is just call our office. Our number is 245-6000, and we are open 8:30 to 4, Monday through Friday. Our crisis hours, of course, are 24/7, but for our just typical, you're choosing to enroll in a program and you're not in crisis, those are our hours. And you just say, I want to enroll in J-Pro, or I'm interested in case management or counseling services for my child. And then we'll get you guided to the right person.
Are you looking for mentors?
We just recently expanded. We added 3 more mentors. We feel like we're where we need to be.
Okay.
We're always looking for people that want to help or if they have something to add to it. A need that we have is tutoring. You know, a lot of times kids that do fall behind, we take it upon ourselves to help tutor them and to help get them where they need to be academically to then complete that year or complete a class. So that is one area that we're always looking to expand upon. And it's very helpful for the kids.
So if you've got some interest in there or some expertise in there, lend it. A lot of what you do, is it emotionally exhausting?
It fuels the fire. I mean, we all say, you know, you never know what tomorrow is going to bring for you. And I think that's part of the enjoyment about Midwest Youth Services. You know, I tell staff that I genuinely wake up excited to come to work every day. And it's because it is never boring. You know, you may be counseling a kid one day and you may be helping a family the next day and you may be working alongside the J-Pro program and assisting in mentorship. it is exhausting, but they motivate us because they want to succeed. And if we can be the support for them, we often say, you know, let us be your support. And they do, and we're seeing outcomes because of that.
Beth?
The rewards of seeing a youth make progress or a family make progress together far outweigh any of the candle burning a little too thin.
Mm-hmm. Or burning at both ends.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if somebody gets a hold of, wants to get involved in this, wants to help out in some way, just simply call that number, 245-6000, and ask for anyone?
Yeah, they can simply call, you know, whether they're contemplating enrolling in services. They can call and just ask for information. All of our services are 100% free and confidential, so no information will be outside of that phone call. And they can simply request information be sent to them, or a case manager or program contact can talk to them about the program and what it has to offer, and when they're ready to enroll, or, you know, talk about it further. They're welcome to come in between those hours, and we'll get them squared away.
All right. Thank you for your time, both of you, Beth.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Appreciate it. WLDS Jacksonville, it's 11.